reading today comes from the sixth chapter of Mark. You've all heard this story before, but it'll be fun to tell it again and to give you a different slant on it. Beginning with the 14th verse, for those of you who are following your Bible, I'm using the Message. King Herod had heard all of this. By this time, the name of Jesus was on everybody's lips. And the king said, "This has to be John the Baptizer come back from the dead. And that's why he's able to work miracles." Give me that pen.
Okay.
All right. Others said, "No, it's Elijah." And others said, "No, it's a prophet, just like one of the old-time prophets." But Herod wouldn't budge. "It's John for sure. I cut off his head, and now he's come back to life." Herod was the one who had ordered the arrest of John and put him in chains, sent him to prison at the nagging of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. And John had provoked Herod by naming his relationship with her as adultery. Well, of course, you caught that, right? He's married to somebody who's already married, and her brother, the guy's kind of weird. And she, while smoldering with hate, wanted to kill John, but didn't dare because Herod was in awe of John. Convinced that he was a holy man, he gave him special treatment. Whenever he listened to him, he was miserable with guilt, and yet he couldn't stay away. Something in John kept pulling him back. But a portentous day arrived when Herod threw a birthday party, inviting all the brass and the blue bloods in Galilee. Herodias' daughter entered the banquet hall and danced for the guests. She dazzled Herod and the guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me anything, and I will give you anything you want." Carried away, he kept on, "I swear, I will split my kingdom with you if you say so." And she went back to her mother and said, "What do I ask for?" And the mother looked at her and said, "Ask for the head of John." Excited, she ran back to the king and said, "I want the head of John the Baptizer served up on a platter, and I want it now." Well, that sobered up the king pretty quickly. But unwilling to lose face with his guests, he caved in and let her have her wish. The king sent the executioner off to the prison with orders to bring back John's head. He went, cut off John's head, brought it back on a platter, presented it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and got the body and gave him a decent burial. Wow. So anybody sitting here going, "Okay, Pastor, what are you going to do with this in church? Come on, really? We're going to talk about murder today and mayhem?" Well, you know, there's an important issue around Mark telling this story. And Mark is gives us a very basic and important truth. Abraham Lincoln helped people understand absolute truth at one point when they came to him and tried to explain to him about people making decisions based on supposition rather than truth. And so Lincoln said, "Okay, well, how about this? How many legs would a sheep have if you called its tail a leg?" And the guy immediately said, "Well, just like you all said, 5. And the president said, "No, it would only have 4 legs. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it so." Okay? So in this passage that we're reading about today, if you notice the sermon title, it's Setting Up to Fail. And there were several passages in there that you heard that made it obvious that Herod was in trouble before this ever got started. Amen? The first thing was that he was paranoid about who?
John.
No.
His
his followers.
No.
His
listen to the opening verse. King Herod heard of all of this, for by this time the name of Jesus was on everyone's lips. Okay. And he said, this has got to be John the Baptist come back to life. So who is Herod paranoid about?
Jesus.
He's guilty about John. But what's he really guilty about?
His adultery.
And the fact that he had no right, if you do the history, he had no right to the Jewish crown, such as it was in those days. And you know why that is?
He
wasn't really a Jew, as far as the Jews were concerned.
He
was a Samaritan.
Wow.
He was, in the words of the folks in that day, he was a half-breed. And the only reason that he got the position that he got was because of the deal that his father made with Rome. He demanded to be given the title king, and Rome gave him that title. It was nothing that he earned. So from the very outset, you've got a person who's in power that is a fraud. Now, I don't know about you folks. Brandon will tell you that I can go to great, great lengths with folks until you lie to me. And then I'm pretty much done. And the reason for that, folks, is not because I'm just this mean, unforgiving particular person, but to be able to do the work that I do, I have got to be able to trust what you're saying. And once you lied to me, what do I get to trust?
Nothing.
And that is part of the reason that Mark had put this story where he did. I mean, this is no accident that the writer of this gospel wanted to make sure that the readers knew all the lies and all the craziness that was going on, why John got killed. It had nothing to do with John's message, really. Did you hear that later in the passage? Every time Herod, he sought John out. He wanted to listen to the message. But then when he got done listening to him, he felt guilty. Hello. Do you know anybody who goes to church like that? Amen. They behave like warring banshees all week, and they're there on Sunday, and they get prayed over every Sunday. Pastor, pray for me. You know? They get communion, and then on Monday, what are they doing?
Acting
up again. Well, you know, it seemed that Mark was trying to make a point. When we get into positions of power, we have to be careful what we do and what we say. There was a person that was raped a few years back. And many people have heard me say, you've heard me say it, concerning the children in our congregation, that if anybody raised a hand to them, it would be a race between me and the police. And the perpetrator of that harm to those children would pray to God that the police got to him before I did. I can convince myself that those are noble intentions to protect someone I care about, and that the perpetrator would never harm anyone again. But you know, as well as I do, that that's an inner rage. Yeah, I did. And when Jesus quoted that, he said, but I say. Mark put this story in here to help explain that whole idea that Jesus was trying to teach us. Because if Herod had not been afraid of Jesus and had listened to what Jesus was teaching, John would have never gotten killed. He might have even admitted his adulterous affair, and backed off of that, and actually had some dignity and backed away. But of course, we know that hurting another person cannot heal the person that we love. It only pulls us down to the level of the perpetrator. Acts of vengeance create wounds on our own souls. It is a great spiritual challenge to live in this world where things cannot always be made right again. You know, the disciples of John had to feel awful. And we have stories of Scripture about how they went to Jesus and told Jesus that John had been killed. And Jesus' reaction was to what? To keep moving forward, to forgive. We cannot control, folks, how people behave. The only people that you can be responsible for is yourself. Now, let's talk a little bit, though. How did Herod get into that position? Because I've got to make this relate to you, because none of us are going to be king, right? Maybe Francesca will be sitting in the White House someday. Amen?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Well, I was going to say you're married to the president, but hell, she'll be the president. And, you know, but the point is, none of us are all that powerful. So how do we relate to this? Well, you have a decision to make every day, do you not?
Yes.
You know who you are. You know what you're about. And so when you're faced with a decision, only you can make the decision that's proper for your relationship with God. But when we're under pressure from the society that we live in, amen, it's kind of difficult. The example that I could think of is how we get, and that's why I talked about this message today being set up to fail. We had a member of this church who, when we went to get them housing, you know, first they were told that they weren't sick enough, and of course that turned out to be a lie. They were more than sick enough. But it was amazing to me that when we went back to them and got pushy about it, the interesting thing that got said is they ran a drug test, because the only way they could get them into more emergency housing was that they had to be drug free. I hope you see what's coming, because that's what the kind of garbage that Herod was doing. They did the drug test, they come back, and almost with a smile on their face, said, "We cannot provide housing because he tested positive for drugs." I praise God for William Francis. William Francis kind of leaned into the desk and said, "Really? The man is as sick as any dog. The man has cancer. His T-cell count is 14 or under. He has been homeless and under a damn bridge for the last 3 weeks since being released from the hospital. What drug did you think he was not going to take?" When Herod did what he did he really think that there weren't going to be people critical of him? When you talk in a group setting and you're nasty about people, do you think that you're really not eventually going to get called on it? Do you think that, as we say in in the secular world, that karma ain't going to bite you in the butt at some point? That's really what this is all about. And then Herod being stupid, and by the way, I want to point this out. Herod was not a really good guy. You know that the daughter that did that dance, you all caught the flavor that it was a fairly provocative dance. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're kind of working it. And now here's the king with an underage girl. Hello. And he's already married. They got all bent out of shape. And how stupid is this? I'll give you anything you want, including half my kingdom. Sometimes when we make promises and we do things, we don't think it through clearly that we are setting ourselves up to fail. When you fill out a work application, as much as it pains you, you have to be honest. It doesn't do you any good to get that job for a week and then have them come back and go, oh, by the way, you didn't tell us you were in jail. We're letting you go. Not because you were in jail, but because you lied. Herod wasn't even smart enough to know what his situation was. That's why I said, you know, I said this last week. You know, you really got to count the cost, folks, and figure out what's going on. Do you want to go protest about the Confederate flag? Do you want to raise all kinds of holy hell? Or do you want to be smart? And when you see that flag, you go the other way. You don't bother giving them their money. And I have said this about our own community and the whole wedding cake thing. First of all, let's be logical about this. I walk into a baker and I tell him I want a wedding cake for Bill and I. And that baker says, my religion ain't going to let me do that. Oh, but you got to, because gay is okay. And I demand my rights. Who wants to have a piece of that cake after you forced that baker to make it?
Not me.
Amen.
Not me.
I seem to remember
Amen.
A movie where they had somebody made a chocolate pie.
Yeah, there was that movie. Yeah. Yeah. There are some things that you just don't want to push, folks. If somebody doesn't want to bake your cake, fine. There are plenty of people that do. My husband, this young man, Publix apparently doesn't have any problem. Why go to court and make a big deal out of it? Because you are just causing problems for other folks.
Amen.
You make our life difficult. And I know that there's people in the community that disagree with me. You know, there's people on Facebook now that are talking about how they're defriending all their friends because they're putting up Confederate flags or saying nasty stuff about homosexuals. I'm sorry. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm getting old.
Yep.
Oh, oh, oh.
But
could you just call
the Kettle Black?
Should we mention six or something? No, go ahead.
Who the hell cares? You knew what they were before it happened. And now that they decided to put it up there and make a public statement, who cares? Actually, what you do is give them the attention they want. Mm-hmm. Amen? I mean, we all know what attention seekers are. Hallelujah. We know that when people do that. And look, this might be the extreme of what happens, but when you get stupid, really bad things can happen. Hey, little girl, I'll give you anything you want. You know, any mother in her right mind would have said, what's that dude doing with my daughter? But no, what she does is use her daughter to set up the king. The guy she's married to, by the way. And the girl, she's probably not much older than somewhere in between their ages, comes back and goes, oh, I want the head of John on a platter. Do you think for a moment, folks, that that girl really believed that was going to happen? You know, in her mind, somewhere along the line, they might have dressed him up or something, like he was on a platter, brought him in, and embarrassed him. But instead, now, this leader has to follow through on his word. What do you have to follow through on when you say things? Okay, I lost a piece of paper.
Did it blow away? Is it still under here? Not that one?
Nope. Oh, here it is. I've said this to you all before. And I know this is because I'm old. Because I've been doing this for 30 years. And the biggest challenge that we all have is most of the time we are not willing to take responsibility for what we say. Folks, if there's anything this church can teach you, it is to take responsibility for what you say and the consequences. If you lie, that's not about anybody else. If you go for help and you have 1,000 excuses as to why it isn't going to work, it's not the problem of the person trying to give you help. It's your problem. John was not the problem in this story. The problem was Herod and the way that he came to power. So, you know, the lesson in this is you do a little something over here and you don't think it's going to catch up with you, it will. Because the bottom line is people remember stuff that you say. And don't ever, folks, think that you are too good or too set in your ways that you don't have to change. I could tell you, the vicar and I can share almost story for story of how things have changed for us in the last 17 years of this church. I used to be, I am my mother's child. It's all very anal. Everything's got to process. Everything's got to be done a certain way. Man, moving outside changed that in a hurry. Amen? Lance is coming up to me every week going, "My God, what a diverse church we have." Yeah, that's scary as hell to me. Because that means we've got all kinds of opinions. Mine isn't the only one that counts anymore.
Woohoo!
anymore.
Then you got the vicar, you know, who came out of that really conservative branch of Christianity, something called the Navigators. And there was only one theology. But we've learned that, number one, the Holy Spirit hasn't quit talking. Number two, that there are better ways to do things than the way we think they should be done. So remember that. When somebody says to you that they don't have to change for anybody, you might want to walk away from that conversation.
Yeah.
Because we're never done growing.
Change comes from within.
Herod thought that he didn't have to change for anybody. And because he thought that way, he killed an innocent man. An innocent man, by the way, who did nothing more than point out the truth. You know, and we've had that happen in the church. You know, I've had people come into the office and you look at them and go, "Okay, here's the process." And I always find it funny. I mean, that's another thing I've learned, is not to take it personally. I used to take it very personally. Now, I just kind of pray about it because they get mad at me. "Well, Pastor, you're not willing to help me." Well, I gave you the process. Here's the steps. Follow the steps. "Well, that isn't going to work." Well, okay. Maybe it doesn't the first time. We got to do it a second time. You know, you cannot put a round screw into a square hole and expect it to work. So, the final question of today, and I'll shut up. Understand that you all live with challenges. But the question that you're faced with this morning The choice that you make, is it going to be made on the relationship that you have with God and what we know that God requires of us, which is to what? Do justice,
love mercy,
and walk humbly with God? Or are you going to make that choice based on what makes you feel better? God bless you.